sickness will leave me home. Do sit down. We're going to have our reading now. If you've got your Bibles, we'd like to turn to the book of Psalms, and I'm going to read Psalm 100. So, 100th Psalm. Reading it from the New International Version. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. 3 weeks ago, we had a Thompson family get-together. That's the third time we've had it, and there are over 30 of us there from three generations. That's myself, my brothers, and our children and grandchildren, which is great, those of us who are still with us. We had a lovely weekend together, talking, walking, well, not much walking for me, but playing, eating. We'd had a really nice time together, and that was great. Then on a Sunday morning, we had a little service together in the houses, or the house where we were, and we took the theme of thankfulness. We thought it'd be good to thank God for his goodness to us as a family, and for some of us, like my older brother, for nearly 80 years. For some of us, like our latest granddaughter, just 1 year. But it's lovely to share in that time and give thanks to God for his goodness to us as a family. Now, just a week before that we held the meeting in Godmanchester, when we had about 70 or 80 supporters of Rehoboth meeting together with Amy, our director from the Philippines. And again, we thank God for his goodness, his faithfulness, this time for providing for Rehoboth for over 35 years. Again, it was a great time we had together. Then, as you've seen on the slides, at the end of last year, a group of us from the UK went over to the Philippines to share again in their anniversary celebrations, again thanking God for his goodness and his faithfulness. Well, here in Psalm 100, the psalmist exhorts his hearers, his readers, to worship God, to thank God, to praise God for who he is and all that he has done, for his goodness, for his love, and for his faithfulness. So I want to talk about being thankful this morning. It's good. It's good to be thankful. We have always something to be thankful for. As you've heard in Rehoboth, we have a lot to be thankful for. As we reflected back, as we have done over this last year, in particular over the last 35, 36 years, there's so much we can thank God for with Rehoboth. We can thank him for the way he caused the work to be established. It was only when Vernon went over to the Philippines and he met a local pastor that they discovered there was a need. Well, obviously there was a need, but Vernon met, he saw there was a need, he went back and talked with Connie, and they responded to that need to start caring for children in the Philippines, and believing that God would provide the resources for this, which he has done for the last 35, 36 years. We thank God for the way that he provided the right people and the right accommodation. At the very beginning, Pastor and Mrs. Lozano took those four girls into their own home, cared for them, and over the years, they've developed, and now we have the separate boys' house and the girls' house with lots of staff and people caring for them. We thank God for the way that Amy, who was Pastor and Mrs. Luzana's daughter, became the director when Pastor felt he needed to stand down. Her background, the training she'd had, the work she'd done before as a nutritionist, she did a social work training, she was just the right person to take on the work, at some cost to herself as well, to come and lead Rehoboth. And for Catherine, who's now been a volunteer for 12 years. She goes back every year and never seems to want to stay in the UK. I can't understand why, but there we go. Now we are delighted, and we totally support her in what she does. So God has provided in so many ways, and we are really thankful for him for that. And as the work developed, as you saw in 2008, the idea of developing an educational support program where we sponsor children in their own homes to go to school because the parents can't afford to pay for them. A few years back, we have an American Peace Corps volunteer. We didn't mention that in these slides. But a few years ago, there was an American Peace Corps volunteer who was a horticulturalist. and she transformed the plot of land behind the boys' house into a garden, which is now grandly called an eco-learning farm. But it's so changed so much over the years. And now the children spend time there learning the skills and growing fruit and vegetables and so on. And lots of other people over the years, groups have gone to the UK to do various activities. We even had a group from the OM Logos Hope came for a few days to Hobos and did some work. So God has been very good over the years. And again, in providing individuals and churches such as Abbotsham and groups around the country to support the work by praying, by giving, and some people acting as sponsors. If you're interested in being a sponsor, there's information on the table there. Helping youngsters like Shaina, to progress through the educational system, but also to get some Christian teaching. And as a church in her village, and Shaina's part of that, I believe she's part of the worship group now in the village. Youngsters in the Philippines, get on with it. You know, they're all taking part in leading worship and so on. So pray for Shaina and for her family. She's a great girl, and it's lovely to meet her again. She's a bit shy, but that's understandable. But pray for her and for the other youngsters in Rehoboth. As they grow, in every sense, they're cared for in every sense of their life, and in their spiritual life as well. Do pray for them. So we have much to thank God for his goodness and his love and his faithfulness at Rehoboth, and we really are thankful. And we worship with gladness, and we come before him with joyful songs, and we enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We give thanks to him and praise his name for what he is doing and has done at Rehoboth. But I believe we can apply some of these same thoughts and sentiments to ourselves here in the UK, here at Abbotsham, as we consider who God is and what he's done for us. It's a totally different situation, but he's the same God, and he blesses us in the same ways. Psalm 100, verse 5 says this: "The Lord is good. His love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations." That particular verse mentions just three aspects of God's character: his goodness, his love, and his faithfulness. Now, of course, there's so much more to God than this, but we're just going to spend a few minutes together now looking at those three aspects of the character of God. God is good. God is totally good. God is 100% God. There's no bad at all in God. Can we get our heads around that? There's absolutely nothing imperfect about him. He's perfect in his goodness. Do you remember when Jesus was speaking to a young man who came to him and said, "What have I got to do to get eternal life?" Jesus said, "There's only one person who's good," meaning God. Only God is totally good. God is good. When Moses asked to know God back in the Old Testament in Exodus 33, that he should know God more so he could lead that rabble of people, the Israelites, through the wilderness, he said to God, "You know, I can't do it on my own. You must come with me." God said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." God's goodness includes his mercy and his compassion. Again, there's so much more we could say about God, but let's just look at that for the moment. God doesn't treat us as we deserve. He's merciful to us, thank God. He's kind and he's compassionate to us. He's willing to forgive us for our sins, which we all have. He offers us as a free gift eternal life out of his mercy and his grace. This is out of the goodness, the pure goodness of God. Listen to the words of some of the other psalmists. Psalm 27, verse 13, "I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living." Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." God is good all the time. We could have sung that song, couldn't we? But never mind, we didn't. So God is good. God is also loving. And it says his love endures forever. In one of the other psalms, Psalm 6, David pleads with God to deliver him and save him because of his love. He says, "Turn, Lord, and deliver me and save me because of your unfailing love." God's unfailing love. God's love never fails. God's love never runs out. It's always there. It can always be relied upon. In the Old Testament days, God showed his love through his covenanted commitment to his people, the Israelites. And even when they disobeyed him, and even when they went their own way, even after God had to punish them, he still loved them. And after he sent them into exile, he brought them back again to his own land. God's love didn't fail. It's the people who failed. God's love never failed, and God's love never will fail. Back in Exodus, in the following chapter, Exodus 34, when God did pass before Moses, remember, he put Moses in the cleft of a rock, and he put his hand in front of him so Moses couldn't see him. He said this, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. But thank God, in the New Testament, we read of how God's love was ultimately shown in the sending of his own Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world, so that the guilty would go unpunished, because Jesus has taken our punishment. Jesus, who became the perfect sacrifice for sin. Jesus, who took the punishment that we deserve, so we, the guilty, might go free. This is how the Apostle John put it in his letters. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. He sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins, the one taking our place, the one who turned aside the rightful wrath of God against sin so it didn't fall upon us. God is good. God is loving. God is faithful. And God offers us as a free gift, the gift of eternal life, again made possible by the death of Jesus, his Son. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God is good. God is loving. And God is faithful. God is true to his word. God is totally to be trusted. We've already seen in that quotation from Exodus 34, God is abounding in faithfulness as well as in love and compassion. And when you read the Psalms, you'll find often these aspects of God, these qualities of God are linked together. And when the psalmist talks about the faithfulness of God, it's often linked with his love and his compassion. Psalm 57, verse 10, for great is your love reaching to the heavens, your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Psalm 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. And that verse I've just quoted reminds us of some of the other characteristics of God. We just don't have time, and we could never exhaust them, could we? Like God's righteousness, his justice, not to mention his holiness, his purity, his awesomeness, his might. And we could go on and on, couldn't we? Then, of course, there are those familiar verses from Lamentations chapter 3. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithfulness continues, it says, through all generations. And that means it's come down to us today. God's faithfulness is with us today because God is a faithful God. So there's all this and more we could talk about God's goodness and his love and his faithfulness. And we can shout for joy, as the psalmist did. And we can worship the Lord with gladness. And we can come before him with joyful songs, as hopefully we have done already this morning and will continue to do. But just a few minutes more on this psalm, because Psalm 100 was written with God's people in mind. And they think, the people who study these things, think it may well have been used in temple worship as they went up to worship in the temple. So earlier on in the psalm, in verse 3, it says, know that the Lord is God. It is he that has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now we can apply this to us, first of all, by remembering that, yes, God is our maker. He is our creator. He is the one who made us, which is great. And he does want us to be his people. He does want us to become one of his. Now, we aren't part of the people of God in quite the same way that the Jews were, as we read the Old Testament. They were God's chosen people. But we can become one of God's people by being adopted into his family as we put our trust in Jesus. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, who we receive when we put our faith in Christ as our Saviour. We receive the Holy Spirit and we're adopted into the family of God. We become one of his and his family. This is how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. He said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. So God adopts us into his family. Again, out of his grace and his mercy and his love and his goodness, he invites us into a relationship with him to become children of God. And in that way, we can know that the Lord is God. He's made us, and we can say, yes, we are his. And that's our security, isn't it? And that's our hope, that we are children of God for this life and for eternity. And then for the reader of the psalm in those days, he says, we are the people, the sheep of his pasture. Well, I was going to say, we don't understand the imagery quite so well in this country, but of course we do, don't we, in North Devon? We know all about sheep and shepherds and so on. Well, some of us do. But of course, God is often referred to in the Old Testament as the shepherd of his people. He was the shepherd of his people, Israel. And of course, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But then, of course, Jesus himself in John 10 referred to himself as the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, which Jesus literally did as he hung there on the cross, giving his life in place of ours so that we might become children of God. He took our sin so that we might be set free and forgiven. So we can become his now, his people, by putting our faith in Jesus as our Saviour. So whatever picture we look at, it's God who made us, God who loves us, God who makes it possible for us to become part of him and his family. God's love reaches out to us. God's good, he's loving, he's faithful. But of course, love requires a response, doesn't it? So I wonder what is our response to these truths we've been looking at this morning about who God is and what he's done for us. Well, first of all, the psalmist says we should shout for joy to the Lord. We should worship the Lord with gladness. We should come before him and enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. We should thank God and praise God for what he's done for us. Well, certainly at Rehoboth, we've been doing that over the last year, thanking God especially for his goodness over the last 35 years or so that he's provided for Rehoboth. But what about us today? Are we a people who are able and willing and wanting to praise God, to thank him for his goodness to us, his love for us, his faithfulness to us? Are we those who acknowledge that God is our creator, he's the one who made us, he's the one who saved us by sending his own son, the Lord Jesus, into this world? And if we do that, we know that, and if we put our faith in Christ for ourselves, we can know that peace, that security, that hope for the future, that nothing, not even death itself, can take away from us. We know that we will go from this life into the next to be with our Father God forever. So as we finish, I challenge all of us, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Saviour? That's your only hope in this life and for the future. God is loving, God is good, God is faithful. Are you loving God in return? Are you seeking to live faithfully for him in return? Are you accepting Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord? I pray that you will and I will always. And then we can be very thankful for all that God has done for us. Let's just pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness, your love, your faithfulness, your mercy, your grace, your blessings. We thank you that out of your love, you sent the Lord Jesus into this world to die on the cross to be our Saviour. And I pray that we may all recognise that and respond to you in our hearts and in our lives, and making you our Saviour and our Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for the security that can give us, the hope that we have for this life and for the future. We thank you for all your blessings to us, and we give you thanks and praise, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to sing the words of that verse from Lamentations. If you didn't realise that, that's what it is. Number 200 is our last hymn, our last song together.